from Stoic wisdoms. You decide what matters. Philosophers have argued for centuries about whether you have free will. The debate is unresolved and probably unresolvable. Some say your choices are determined by the chain of causes that produced you, your genes, your upbringing, the neurons firing in a brain you didn't design. Others say the word free is doing so much work that the question dissolves once you look at it clearly. Either way, the debate doesn't resolve. For most practical purposes, the abstract debate doesn't change what you do next. You'll make decisions today regardless of how the philosophers resolve the question, weighing options and feeling the texture of choice and acting on the result. But a narrower version of the question sits underneath the abstract one, and that one shows up every day. Whether you get to decide what matters to you in the first place. Some things count, others don't. Some paths feel open to you, others might as well not exist. That process is running constantly, shaping what you notice, what you pursue, and what you feel you're missing. And if you look closely at where its verdicts came from, very few of them came from anything you'd recognize as your own reasoning. Sovereignty is the word at the center of what I write on Stoic Wisdoms. My goal for every reader of this newsletter, the one I've kept coming back to, has been sovereignty over your attention, your thinking, and how you respond to whatever the world puts in front of you. But all three depend on a more fundamental decision, the one about what counts as significant in the first place. That's the decision worth looking at directly. Start with where the weights come from. Think of the things you currently treat as important, the standards you use to judge how your life is going, whether your work is impressive enough, whether your body is what the decade says it should be, whether your relationships are the kind you can describe to other people without apology, whether the number of people who pay attention to what you do has reached some threshold you've never actually named, but can feel pulling at you, whether the income has reached the number that was supposed to make you feel secure. They feel native, as if they rose up out of your own values, but almost none of them did. Some of them came from your parents, from the standards they were measured by, transmitted without anyone quite meaning to transmit them. Some came from the culture you grew up inside, which had strong opinions about what a successful life looks like long before you were old enough to examine those opinions. Some came from platforms whose business model depends on making certain shapes of life look more valuable than others. What now feels like your own values was assembled by forces whose interests did not coincide with your flourishing. It just happened to be the air you were breathing when you started breathing on your own. This is where the free will question gets uncomfortable, because if what counts as important was already decided before you had a say, and you've spent your life responding to those assignments as if they were your own, then the freedom you've been exercising has been much narrower than it seemed. You've been free inside a frame you never chose, free to pursue whichever of the approved outcomes you could reach, free to feel good or bad about your progress toward them, and never free to decide which outcomes mattered in the first place. The freedom that actually does something is the freedom to reconsider what you treat as important, the freedom to change the weights, to look at what's been running underneath your life and ask whether it's treating the right things as important. This sounds obvious, and is nearly impossible to actually do. The verdicts aren't sitting somewhere visible, waiting to be inspected. They're embedded in what feels like instinct. You don't consciously decide that a promotion matters more than the hour you spent last night with someone you love. The judgment just arrives, and you experience it as how things are. The work of reclaiming this territory means catching these verdicts in transit and asking, before you simply accept them, whether they reflect anything you actually believe. There's a way to surface what you actually believe, and it's more reliable than introspection. Think of someone whose life looks impressive by the standards you've been applying. The income higher than yours. Title more prestigious. The recognition broader. On every measure the inherited scale cares about, they're ahead of you. Now think about what their days actually contain, how they treat the people closest to them, what they've traded to accumulate the lead they're carrying, what lives inside them at 3 a.m, the bargains they had to make to build what you're comparing yourself to. Would you trade lives with them? The whole package, the advantages with the costs, the recognition together with what it costs to get there. If the answer is no, which it usually is once you actually look, then you've just demonstrated something. You have your own scale. You use it constantly when you evaluate other people's lives. You just haven't been using it on your own. The standard you've been applying to yourself isn't one you'd apply to anyone who's in theory, or you could actually see. You save it for your own life, where you measure externals against other externals, and for strangers, where externals are all you can access. Anyone you know well gets a different evaluation entirely. You look at their whole life and ask whether it's the kind of life you'd want. That's the evaluation that matters. You already know how to perform it. The question is why you've been refusing to perform it on yourself. The refusal is what lets the old system keep running. If you started applying your real criteria to your own life, some of what you've been chasing would stop looking like progress. Some of what you've been feeling bad about would stop looking like failure. The entire architecture of what you measure would shift, and with it, a lot of the suffering that comes from measuring yourself against things that don't actually belong to you. This is what the narrower version of free will asks of you. A willingness to examine the standard itself, rather than treating it as background furniture you inherited and can't disturb. A willingness to treat the question of what matters as something you get to reason about yourself. If something in you still insists you're falling behind, that feeling is the old standard still running underneath your stated values. Treat it as information about where what you were given is still making your decisions for you, filling in a judgment where your own reasoning should be. The freedom to change that doesn't mean the feeling disappears. What you inherited won't uninstall itself. What changes is its authority. You notice the verdict as it lands, recognize where it came from, and refuse it. All remains, but the pole no longer decides. The territories where this kind of freedom is actually available are narrower than we'd like. Most of life is outside our control. Illness, accident, the behavior of others, the economy, whether the work we've done will be recognized, whether we'll be loved the way we hope to be. These things come or don't. They're not ours to dictate, but the question of what counts as a life worth having, what deserves the weight of your one finite life, what actually matters, that one is yours. It has always been yours, even when most people never claim it. This is the sovereignty worth having, not over what happens to you, which you were never going to have, but over what you treat as important. Today, in ways you probably won't name as such, you'll be making small judgments about what to measure yourself by. Whether the promotion you didn't get was a failure, whether the career you didn't pursue would have made you more of a person, whether the comparison thaw.